I saw many of you here on Christmas Eve. We had a Christmas Eve service, and I know that people are busy and a lot of things are going on. A lot of people couldn't make the service, but I just want to say thank you, Lois, for single-handedly giving us praise and worship at our Christmas Eve service. Thank you, Jake and Brad, for doing sound and slides. So, even though Jake had his pajamas, he thought it was a Christmas morning service. That was kind of cool. So Joshua 1, verse 9 is where we're going to go. But just to kind of give us a little bit of an intro to it, this is the time of year, the end of December, beginning of January, when we all kind of take a look around and we kind of look back at the one year and we look forward into the next year. And I've heard a lot of people saying this. It's almost everywhere. I'm sure you guys have heard it hundreds, if not thousands of times. I just can't wait for 2021. I'm so ready for 2020 to be over. The only problem is things don't change just because you tear a page out of a calendar, right? And so if we really think that we can just kind of like at midnight step over that line and into that next day and everything's going to be different, you're going to be, that's an illusion, and you're going to be disillusioned, okay? To be disillusioned, you have to have an illusion in the first place. But I do think it's realistic that we can believe God for something better. God has a kingdom that's always expanding. It's always on the move, and we're citizens of that kingdom. So I expect my citizenship under his lordship to always be increasing and improving. And I know for us, 2020 was challenging in some areas, but it was a really good year in a lot of other areas. And I'm looking at you guys. I know there's a lot of you could be shaking your head. I know some of you are super challenged. I mean, teachers, frontliners, wow. But if you look at some of the relationships, especially family relationships, I think 2020 is going to go down in the history books as being a red letter year for restoring families and relationships. It's just been amazing. And so today I want to try to encourage us to be filled with hope for better things for this year. And even how, I want, hopefully, we'll all be encouraged and how to even do our part in laying hold of that. So if you're at Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, and you want a title for today, some people take notes. So the title for today is, "You Got This Because I Got You." That's what God says to us. You got this because I got you. Okay. Joshua 1, verse 9, this is what Moses says to him. He says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." That verse has been prophesied to me literally in, I think, two or three nations, many different times. All the prophetic words I have, this scripture has probably been a third of them. And so if you've been here at church, I look around, most of you guys have been here for many years, you've heard me preach this verse many times. Most of what I say right now, you guys will remember. When I first got this, it also came with like a warning. And it's like, I don't know what this means, but I think you're going to go through some stuff. So God wants to tell you, kind of be strong going through it. Well, that didn't comfort me. I was encouraged by that. It's like, oh man, God's telling me I got to really buck up because this is going to knock me out. Oh, okay. That's not it, though. That's really not it. This actually started, this for Joshua and Moses, this starts like four chapters before this. If you want to turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 31, we're going to go to verse 6. By the time he says it to Joshua in chapter 1, verse 9, it's almost like a reminder for him. It's like, okay, I've talked to the nation, now I want to talk to you. Moses actually talks to both. Moses first brings us out to the whole nation, like almost like to the whole church, and then he calls Joshua, like the pastor, out. He says, this is for the whole church, and this is for you, Joshua. So in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he's the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you." Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. So Deuteronomy 31, the whole chapter is all about directions to the nation and to Joshua about how to go into the promised land. Deuteronomy 32, it's all about Moses teaching this whole nation a new worship song. And so it's kind of like, this is what you got to do, and God's going to be with you with it through all of it. And you guys got to be worshiping while you do this. The one thing you got to remember these directions, but the heart condition in this, the mindset, is to be worshiping God as you walk through this. Chapter 33, Moses takes this whole chapter to prophesy blessing upon blessing upon blessing across the nation. So they get their job description. These are the orders, your marching orders, go do this. By the way, make sure you have a heart of worship. Keep worshiping God as you go through this. And here's what God prophesies over each one of you. Directions, worship, prophecy. Deuteronomy 34, this is exciting. Moses dies. Oh, whoa. So that means, I mean, he already said, Joshua, you're the guy, you're going to be doing this. When Moses dies, you got to know everybody, including Joshua, knew he was the man. I hope you took good notes, because you're up. Go. Wow. Talk about no safety net. Wouldn't those be big shoes to fill? Moses's shoes to fill? And it didn't even say that he got Moses the rod of God. You know, Moses carried that stick, and when he lifted up, seas parted, and when he touched snakes, they or other things. Amazing things happened when Moses took his stick out. Moses led these guys through all of this stuff. He was the guy that prayed and unleashed the 10 plagues on Egypt. And so now he passes away. Joshua is the guy. No wonder God said, be bold and very courageous. The second half of that is what we always have to concentrate on. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And that goes for us today too, each one of us today. No matter what you're going through, no matter what 2020 was like, and what you expect 2021 to be like, you're going through it with God. And one person and God makes a majority. I don't care how big the crowd is you're in. You and God make the majority. So Moses dies. That means Joshua's up. Everybody's hoping he took really good notes and he watched closely because he's going to have to go for it. And Joshua must have, somewhere in his thinking, he must have remembered, okay, I'm in charge now. I'm going to lead these guys into blessing and promises of God and all the things that Moses told us to do. We're going to do that, and the prophecies are going to come true, and we're going to just be a worshiping people. And then he, like, turned around and saw the group of people he's going to be leading, and he remembered. Moses had his handful with them folk, right? It seemed like every time Moses tried to get them to do something, they rejected it. They argued about it. They just wanted to sit down and whine and complain and cry. Be brave and very courageous, for the Lord of God is with you. So Joshua had to settle it in his heart on that day. He had to just go, you know what? I don't care what their track record is. And I don't even care that Moses isn't here anymore. I know what God said. God said, I'm the man for this. Paul, you're the man for what he has you doing. Angie, you're the right teacher in the right place with the right kids right now. That's what he says to all of us. All of us are facing challenges. But I'll guarantee you, none of our challenges are bigger than the challenge Joshua was coming up against. By the way, he had never led these people yet. Now all of a sudden, he's got millions of people to lead through unknown land. Wow. Go. Let's go do this thing. Joshua 1:9. So now we'll go back up to Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That verse has comforted me so many times over the years in different things that me and Jeanette have gone through in our personal life, the things this church has gone through, stuff I've gone through. When it doesn't seem right, doesn't look right, doesn't feel right, when other people are saying things that go against what you were hoping and praying for, sometimes you just got to close your eyes, plug your ears and go, okay, hold on a second. God, what did you say to me? And then recite to yourself the scriptures that God's given to each one of you. Because all of us have a favorite verse, right? All of us have a favorite Bible character. All of us have favorite passages in the Bible that when we read them, our faith goes, whoop. Or how about a worship song? All of us have favorite worship songs that when you crank on that song, your faith goes whoop. Whether it's a favorite verse or your favorite worship song, when we get in, when we make the decision to go, okay, I feel crummy and that doesn't make sense and this hurts, I'm going back to you, God. I'm going to fill my heart with worship. I'm going to fill my word, my mouth with your word so that my heart's focused on you because I know you'll never leave me, never forsake me. That's being brave and courageous. Because the hardest person sometimes to convince to shut up talking to you and focus on God is ourselves. I'll admit it. I'm working on it. But I think I talk worse to myself than any other person on this planet. When I mess something up, it's nothing for me to either say it out loud if I'm alone or to think it, well, you idiot, why'd you do it that way? Wow, that was pretty stupid, Mike. I would never say that to any of you, ever. But that's how I talk to me. How about you guys? It's hard to be brave and courageous when the person that knows you the best is throwing water on your fire. So it's like, hold on a second. God, what'd you tell me? He said, be strong and courageous. This strong in the Hebrew literally means to fasten upon. Because sometimes we, you know, it feels like, hey, Paul, you better be strong and courageous. Like, ooh, okay, well, there, I'm going to be strong. It's like, that's not what he's saying. He's saying be strong and courageous. That means fasten yourself onto God, which is kind of almost backwards. Because in America, to be strong and courageous, we do the John Wayne imitation, right? Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Take on the world. I can do it. I ain't afraid. And actually, God, I'm intimidated by all this mess. I need you. That's being strong and courageous. To be strong is to fasten upon. It literally means to bind yourself to. Joshua, get strong, come over here, fasten on, bind yourself to me. Wow. Be courageous means to be alert, to strengthen yourself mentally. Wow. You know how we strengthen ourselves mentally? It's not like cramming for an exam like I used to do in school. And then 3 days later, somebody asked you any of those things, I wouldn't have the slightest idea what any of it was because I just crammed the night before. That's not what this is. To mentally strengthen yourself is to bind yourself onto God and His Word, to fasten onto Him, to take your mind, because all of us have a will. We're in charge of us. We're not a victim of circumstance. We think what we want to think. Whether that's discouraging stuff and junk that happened before and we start worrying about it and think it's going to happen in the future, or we go, nope, I got a living God that loves me and is changing things. Look at what all He's already changed in my life and my situation, my circumstance, my family, my church. Wow! God, I'm holding on tight. I can't wait to see what You're going to do this year. The sky's the limit. That's what being mentally strong is. Using your will to not go by your feelings, but using your will to go by your intellect and choosing God's word, choosing His faithfulness. Be strong. Fasten upon, bind yourself to Him. Be courageous. Be alert and strengthen yourself mentally. Focus on God. Don't be afraid or dismayed. Don't let fear break you down, causing confusion. That's literally what that means. And I know when we start worrying, when we start being afraid of situations, circumstances, we get confused. We start running in little mental circles in our minds until we're so dizzy and we're so exhausted, we can't really even remember what it was that rocked our boats in the first place, right? I don't think I'm speaking just for me. I'll bet Joshua went through a little bit of this. If you look at Joshua chapter 1, three times, verse 6, verse 7, verse 9, three out of four verses, Moses says to him, be strong and courageous. Wow. There must have been a reason that he had to be told that three times in four sentences. He must have been waffling. He must have been looking at the crowd and thinking about the track record. And oh my goodness, Moses just said he's going to be dying here pretty soon. God told him he's not going with us into the... Hold on. Let me grab a hold of God in this. What was the last thing God told me? Oh, I know, my favorite verse. Okay, what did Moses just teach us? He taught us that worship song. I better start singing. I better start singing. I got to get my mind focused on God's goodness and on his power and on his love for us. This is all his plan. This isn't my plan. This is his plan. I'm just agreeing with his plan for my life. Okay, God. Okay, I'm focused again. All right. So why would he say that, knowing full well who we are? The that in this is that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Do you ever wonder what God does when we start sinning? Like, in human terms, in relationships, when you're around someone that's acting really bad and destructive, we don't want to just go and say, hey, man, you can just go ahead and do all that stuff. I'll just hang out with you until you come to your right sentences. We're like, time out, give me a call when you quit having a bad case of stupids, and I can help you. Right? God's like, I'm not going to leave you or forsake you. I don't care how messy it gets. I'll never, never means never. In the Hebrew, in the Greek, and in the English, never means never. God says, be brave and courageous because I ain't never going to leave you. Wow. That means in the good, the bad, and the ugly. And maybe you guys don't know when I'm good and bad and ugly, but I know, right? We all know. We all got a good record of when we've blown it, accidentally and on purpose. God says, it doesn't intimidate me. I chose to love you. I'm staying with you. Good, bad, and the ugly. Wow. Knowing that in 2020, he knows these kind of things about us. In 2020, we still didn't pray as much as we said we would. Right? He knows that last year we still didn't get in the Word as much as we intended to. Whole another year gone, still didn't do as much. As he knows that we meant to tell more people about him. Never got around to it. Man, you encouraged yet? Are you built up? Remember what he told Joshua. You got this because I got you. So even as we're reminded of our lowest points or the things we didn't get to or what our defeats, even in that, God says, I'm never leaving, I'm never forsaking you. I love you. Now think about your good points, because all of us had good points. All of us grew last year and something. Some of you guys, as I'm looking around, looking at the face, some of you guys grew a bunch last year. All of you were faithful last year. Here you are still at church. The end of another year, serving the Lord. Hallelujah. Right? We can celebrate that. Because there's a lot of Christians that gave up this year or the year before or the year before or the year before that. We're here being faithful to God. Why? Because somewhere along the line we decided to focus and get a hold of God, to bind ourselves to him, to worship him as a lifestyle, and to believe his word. It really is as simple as all that. It's so awesome. His presence changed everything. It really does. I've had times where I've prayed a lot and I'm building new prayer habits and that's awesome, and sometimes not so great. I've had times where I was in the Word 3 or 4 hours every day. Awesome, and sometimes less than that. Through all of that, God kept me because he never leaves me, never forsakes me. Not on my good days and not on my bad days. I've had times where I totally lost it. I've been a Christian for 30 years. I remember one time shortly after our family went through a crisis, we lost someone, and I was not emotionally at my best place. And I remember driving to the mall. I was going to drop Melanie off at work, and some guy just basically jaywalked in front of us, so I quick stopped. I didn't do anything. I just stopped for him. He turned around and flipped me off. Do you know that I was out of the, this is back when I had a truck, it's been a long time. I was out of the truck, and I had snatched him. I was holding him up like this, getting ready to punch him before I realized what was going on. Yes, I was a pastor at the time. So I'm just telling you, that's one of my horror stories. I'm being vulnerable. It's not a pattern. It's the only time it happened. It was many years ago. Phew. God didn't leave me on that day. God didn't say, you know what, Mike, I've had enough of you. You just go and do whatever the mess you're going to do. I'm going to be over here, and once you can be stable for, 6 months, then you can give me a... That's not how God was with me in that. One of my lowest points, God was with me. He's with us. He never leaves us, never forsakes us. He says he'll always be with us. Every time he'll be with us. The God that created us, that knows us, not only will put up with us, he's actually excited to be with us. Because he's a good God that's in a good mood that wants to do good for his people. When he told Joshua to be strong and be very courageous, he had awesome things planned for him. He was going to take him into the promised land. He could be the leader of God's most cherished people, taking him into the biggest thing he had planned for him, into the promised land. That was awesome. I'll bet Joshua was excited. And the devil tried to discourage him with some fear and some doubt and all this other stuff. But his plans, God's plans for him and the people were all good plans. His plans for you are good plans. Sometimes there's fear involved. Sometimes it's a challenge, and we really have to lock on our minds to God and his faithfulness. But God only means good for you. Even in the midst of pressure and difficulty, he still means good for you. I promise you he does. I had to write this down. I want to get this right. The adversity that we find ourselves in is also the launching pad for God's love and power. I firmly believe this. The adversity that we find ourselves in, maybe right now, is also the launching pad for God's love and power. Listen to some of these examples in the Bible. I think you guys all be very familiar with them. Before Jesus fed the thousands or healed the lepers or raised the dead, he spent 40 days in the desert being tempted by the devil. Before all the breakthrough, before all that amazing stuff, he went through a tough time. Before David was king, he was a shepherd that was chased by a demonized leader throughout the land. Before Paul was able to set up all the churches and he wrote major portions of the Bible, he also got knocked off his camel and was blind. Man. Before Peter walked in such a powerful anointing that even his shadow falling on a sick person would heal him, before he's also the same guy that rejected Jesus 3 times and ran away from the whole church. Wow. I go on and on. I could talk about Job. I could talk about Aaron. I could talk about Ruth. I could talk about Joseph and Mary. I could talk about Barnabas. All of these guys and ladies went through tough stuff with the Lord and experienced his love, and then saw the breakthrough in their life. After the difficulty came the breakthrough. So when God tells us, be strong and courageous, and hold on to me tight, because I'm never going to leave you or forsake you, he means it, because he's getting ready to do something great in our lives. So how can we keep our focus? By mentally fastening ourselves to God. Now, I'll bet very few of us could do 100 push-ups or 100 sit-ups or run a 6-minute mile. Isn't it good we don't have to do that kind of stuff? Hallelujah. But all of us, through our will that God gave us, can control our thinking to focus on God. All of us can do that. All of us can do that. He gave us that ability. So after Moses told the whole nation to be strong, he taught them to worship. These are the things you got to be strong for. These are the things you're going to do, but you have to do it with a spirit of worship. If you're struggling right now, if you feel like your tank's a little dry, can I ask you this question? When was the last time you worshiped God outside of our half hour on Sunday morning? Because I think you'll find that one absolutely correlates with the other. If you feel like you're dry or you're frustrated, you're discouraged, you're depressed, when was the last time you worshiped God? Just you pick the song. And worship God, and you'll notice your tank just starts getting filled right at that time. Do you know the story about Jesus and Lazarus and Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead? I think most of us are very familiar with that. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. While he did that miracle, amazing miracle for Lazarus, we all love it. Do you know at the time, the Bible says that Jesus was groaning in his spirit, so his emotions were not in a great place. The Bible says that the believers around him were criticizing him and what he was doing. And Jesus still, by his will, focused on God, took a few more steps forward, and raised the dead. If he'd have gone by his feelings, he'd have went back home. If he'd have gone by what other people are saying and thinking and doing, he'd have went back home. Instead, Jesus trusted God who never left him or forsook him, and he raised the dead. So let's go to John chapter 11. I'm going to show you that. It's tempting to think that Jesus was just always happy and the believers around him always supported everything he was doing. That is just not the case. The religious people were always giving him a hard time, but oftentimes the church was giving him a hard time too. his true blue believers around him. So John chapter 11, verse 38. He gets up to the area that's just outside the tomb and it says, then Jesus, again groaning in himself. Come on, all of us have been there, right? You're going up to something that looks pretty difficult and you're going, oh my goodness. You don't say it out loud. But inside you're going, oh, no, I've been here before. This is, ooh. Jesus, again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he's been dead for 4 days. Like Jesus didn't know. So she's got to help him out and go, hey, look at, I won't even say it. Hey, look at Jesus. I think you missed this. He's been in there 4 days. It's going to be really bad. You don't want to unseal this thing because Jesus just didn't get it, so she had to help him out. Lord, by this time, there's a stench where he's been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me, and I know that you always hear me. That is the kicker in this story. Father, I thank you that you've heard me, and I know that you always hear me. Why? Because Jesus knew that God never left him nor forsook him. So before Lazarus comes out, before the crowd agrees, before his feelings come in line, by faith Jesus says, Father, I just thank you that you hear me. I just prayed out loud so that these people could hear it. But I knew you could hear my heart. You knew my mind. And Father, I just thank you for your faithfulness. Wow. That's literally what he says. And I know that you always hear me. Verse 42. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave cloth, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. That's an amazing story for our Lord and Savior, who his feelings weren't great, the crowd wasn't great, he still stuck to what he knew. God will never leave you nor forsake you. And if you can keep that promise, you can do amazing things. How about David? King David, wow, he went through lots of adversity over several decades. David's life really was never totally easy. Even when he was a king, he had all kinds of problems. He had problems from some of the enemy kingdoms. Most of his problems was from his family and some of his son's choices and then the echoes from what his sons did. So through his lifetime, over probably the last 40 or 50 years of David's life, often he ran into challenges and adversity. And the psalmist wrote many of his psalms while he went through that stuff. So if you got your Bible with you again, could you turn with me to Psalm chapter 9, please? David wrote this psalm as he went through several times of testing. He would sing it back to God throughout his whole life, through the good and the bad. Before we read the psalm, I just want to point out a few things, and as we go through the psalm, they'll kind of stick out to you a little bit bigger. Throughout this psalm, you'll hear praise. And praise is the antidote to fear. So whatever you're afraid of right now, and I'll bet all of us would probably have something different that we're afraid of. When you praise God, that's the antidote to the poison of fear. This psalm gives to the needy child of God a sense of confidence in God's just rule, faithfulness in his promises, and it fills us with hope that God's going to act on behalf of his kids. Lament, which is a fancy word for woe is me, changes into prayer. It changes into praise, and fear becomes victorious joy. You'll see this happen in this psalm. You'll see him, he's lamenting and he's praising. He's talking about adversity and he's talking about God's goodness. Though the need was immediate and God may have responded to that particular need, the psalm looks forward to a time when all wickedness will be removed. There's this thing about the future where God owns the future. He's inside and outside of the future. He rules everything. And as we look at the expansiveness of God and his kingdom and his rule, it kind of puts our problems and our challenges back into perspective. without focusing on God, without using our will to use our mind to latch a hold and bind ourselves to Him, we can start worrying about the little things. We'll major in the minors instead of praising the living God. The focus of this psalm is on God's kingship and His goodness to His children who cry out for deliverance from, I love this word, we don't use this word much, but it's awesome, the vexations of this world. And a vexation is anything that vexes you, which I encourage you, go into a dictionary and see what this word means, because it's about this big, all the different stuff that vexes us. Oh, my goodness. Things that aggravate you, things that make you mad, things that make you have rage, things that depress you, things that discourage you, things that cause you to be agitated. It goes on and on and on and on and on. It's like, well, I can't say all those words. So next time when you're struggling in your emotions and you want to get locked back onto God, just say, God, right now I put aside all these vexations. I put aside this person that's vexing me right now. Try that. Some guy's aggravating you at work this week. Say, hey, man, quit vexing me. See what they look like. Psalm 9, verse 1. I'll praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I'll tell of all your marvelous works. I'll be glad and rejoice in you. I'll sing praise to your name, O Most High. When my enemies turn back, they shall fall and perish at your presence. For you have maintained my right and my cause. You sat on the throne, judging in righteousness. You have rebuked the nations, you've destroyed the wicked, and you've blotted out their name forever and ever. O enemy, destructions are finished forever, and you have destroyed cities. Even their memory has perished, but the Lord shall endure forever. He has prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness, and he shall administer judgment for the peoples in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble, and those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Declare his deeds among the people. When he avenges blood, he remembers them. He does not forget the cry of the humble. Have mercy on me, O Lord. Consider my trouble from those who hate me. You who lift me up from the gates of death, that I may tell of all your praise. In the gates of the daughter of Zion, I will rejoice in your salvation. The nations have sunk down in the pit which they made, in the net which they hid. Their own foot is caught. The Lord is known by the judgment he executes. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Meditation, Selah. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, do not let man prevail. Let the nations be judged in your sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Selah. That psalm covers everything from the individual who's crying out to nations that are exalting themselves against God. And if that doesn't encourage you, there's 149 more psalms that I'll guarantee one of them will be perfect for where you're at. And don't forget, all of us have our own favorite verse because God spoke that verse to us. We don't all have the same favorite verse. I bet if we compared them, maybe a couple people might have the same, but most of us are going to have something that when we are reading it, at the time we were going through something, and the Holy Ghost said, this is for you right now, this is what I'm going to give you. And it's like, woof, yeah, wow. And we write it down and we memorize and we carry that in our heart the rest of our life. Start reciting that verse back to yourself. Go back and read about your favorite Bible character. Who was that? What did they go through? What did God say to them? And how did that work out? Why are they your favorite Bible character? I'll guarantee you there's something that their story is like your story. That's why God used it to put something into your heart. Your favorite person, your favorite verse, maybe your favorite psalm. Get out some of your favorite worship songs and mentally bind yourself to God for the next coming year. Make a point of going, God, I'm all in. I am all in. Because, you know, David wrote the psalm and he sang it often because he knew God's love and faithfulness. David believed and encouraged himself with the truth. You got this because I got you. That's what God said to David. That's what God said to Joshua. That's what God said to all of these people. That's what God says to each one of us. You got this because I got you. That's what he says. So let's close this up. Let's wrap this up. How does this work for us? What are we going to do with this? This morning I'm asking you to do one thing. I'm asking each one of us to make God's faithfulness our priority. Many times I encourage us to pray more, to maybe to give more, or serve more, or forgive. Or today's the message, last message of 2020. I want you to make a priority of God's faithfulness. Focus on that. When was God faithful to you? When was God faithful to other people in this church that you've seen it firsthand? How was God faithful to people in the Bible? Focus on his faithfulness, and I'll bet everything else will just take care of itself. We do need to be strong. It was the first thing that God, through Moses, told Joshua. He told him that at least five times that I could find it. Maybe they told him more than that. We do have to be strong and very courageous. But being strong means you're going to lock on to God. That's your strength. Your strength isn't, I don't need anybody's help. I got this. Your strength is, oh, God, I need help. Where are you at? And you grab him. Kind of like Emerson when she's at our house and we're goofing around and she grabs my leg and she won't let go. And I'm walking and I got to walk with my granddaughter on my leg. That's how we got to be to God. Be strong in the Lord. Grab a hold of him. Focus on his faithfulness. We need to keep our focus on him no matter what we go through. Because problems get bigger the more you magnify them, but God gets bigger the more you magnify him. Anything you focus on, it gets bigger. Every person in the Bible that overcame adversity and discouragement all had one thing in common. They focused on the Lord by singing his praises and declaring his word. Every single person in the Bible that had a victory, those are two things they did. They worshiped God and they declared his word. Man, all of us got stuff that we're going through. All of us have emotions that we react in. But you know the one thing about emotions? They ain't got no brains. They don't. And I know for me, maybe you know for you, the more emotional I get, the more brainless I act. Oof. It's like they're emotions that are most of the time, especially bad emotions, are warning signals for me. When I start getting angry, it's like ding, 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 Mike, where's God? You let go. Ding, ding, ding. When I start getting super sad or discouraged or depressed, ding, 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 Mike. You let go again, go back, focus back on. Our emotions aren't evil. They're not bad. They're often warning signals for us to refocus back onto God. When our emotions rise up, like fear or anger or sadness, let's use them as a spiritual alarm clock. Ding, 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 ding. Time to wake up. You're acting brainless again, Mike. Where's God at? So before we pray together, I just want to lay hold of this one promise for each one of us. God says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And I'm going to pray that over all of us. But I just want us all to bow our heads and let's all pray in agreement, just in the Spirit. Be with me on this as I pray the prayer that Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus, but I think he prayed it for us throughout eternity. It's out of Ephesians chapter 3. If you want to pray along with me, you can. Otherwise, I'm just going to pray this out over us. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. So let's pray. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, and depth, and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Father, I just pray for us. I just want to finish this prayer up right now, Father. Would you help us to be strong and of good courage? Would you help us to not be in fear and nor be afraid of the things we go through? But Father, would you cause us to focus on you, the Lord our God, and to have complete confidence and awareness that you are with us, because you promise that you will never, never, never leave us nor forsake us. I pray this over your flock, Lord, in Jesus Christ's mighty name, amen. So I encourage you guys, and I already said it a few times, but I just want to encourage you, relook or pull out your favorite verse, your favorite passage, and maybe one or two of your favorite worship songs, and just make a point all this week, at least once a day, sing that song. Put it on your headphones, put it in your card, whatever you got to do. Quote out your verse, say it out loud, pray it over your life, pray it into that situation. I guarantee you, as you do this stuff, you're going to want to do more. If you start speaking the word out and you're doing some worship, you're not going, one song won't be enough. You're going to end up doing two songs or three songs or a half hour or something. And you'll find when you get done, you're going to be so encouraged. You'll be full of love, you'll be full of faith, you'll be full of encouragement, and you're going to want to find somebody that you can share that with. It'll happen automatically, supernaturally. Every time we touch God, he touches us. It's impossible not to. Amen? So God bless you. Have a good New Year's Eve, and we'll see you guys all back here next Sunday.